The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Kingdom Connection.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 8, there's a time to love, and the holy book says there's a time to hate. And tonight, I want to remind you that we are called to love what God loves, and we are called to hate what God hates. We're not to hate people under any conditions whatsoever. Never are we given a license to say hateful words to people, to hurt people, to slander people, to humiliate people. But we are called by God to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. We are very good in the body of Christ of loving what God loves. Most of us don't have a problem with loving what God loves. But we have a weakness when it comes to hating what God hates. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said this many years ago before he died. I fear the day when we will have salvation without regeneration. We will have faith without repentance. We will have heaven without hell. We'll have love for God without hate for evil. And that would become a prophecy, I believe, for America, that we are now entering into a time when we have love for God in many cases. There's a lot of people who say they love God, but they do not, they love what God loves, but they do not hate what God hates. You can't love flowers without hating weeds. Weeds eventually will kill the flowers if you don't hate the weeds. The weeds will destroy the beautiful, beautiful flowers. You cannot love flowers without hating weeds. The weeds will destroy the flowers. The weeds will kill the flowers. You can't love God without hating sin. You cannot love God without hating what Satan does to people's lives. There's no high without a low. There's no hot without a cold. The more a mother loves a child, the more she hates the disease that tries to take that child's life. And we must know that there's a time to love, but there's a time to hate, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We really can't define or understand the love of God. God is love. God calls us to love our enemies. To love those who do things in spite against us, and out of hatred, we are to, in the face of it, love. Love your enemies. He called Judas his friend. He said, do what you do quickly, friend. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to betray him. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus looked at him and said, what you do, do quickly, friend. That's love that we can't comprehend. That's love that knows this man is about to do me enormous pain. I'm going to go to the cross because he's betraying my friendship with him and betraying me with a kiss. Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. You can get close and not make it. And we understand the love of God, but we're blinded to the other message of the verse. There's the love of God that is so strong, but the Bible also speaks of things that the Lord hates that we are to hate. For example, Psalms 97 in verse 10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Don't go along to get along. Don't treat it as though it's unimportant. Don't play with it. Don't entertain it. You that love the Lord, hate evil. Learning to hate wrong things is as important as learning to love right things. Psalms 101 in verse 3 says, I'll set no unclean thing before my eyes, for I hate those who turn aside. Don't turn your eyes aside to that which is unclean, because God hates that. Psalms 119 and 104 says, I hate every false way. I hate people who offer false ways to heaven. Psalms 119 and verse 13, I hate vain thoughts, God says. I hate it when you let your mind dwell on things that it shouldn't dwell on. I hate vain thoughts. Psalms 119 and 163, I hate and abhor lying. God says, I hate it. I hate it when people lie. I hate it when people are dishonest. I hate it when people don't tell the truth. And see, we need to hear these scriptures, because we get looser and looser and looser when we don't remind ourselves of what truth is. And we are to love what God loves, and we are to hate what God hates. And he said, I hate it when people lie. I hate that. Zechariah 8 and 17, for I hate false oaths, or false accusations, one translation said. I hate it when you falsely accuse people. And perhaps the most famous verse in the Old Testament about what God hates is Proverbs 6 and verse 16 that says this, there are six things that the Lord hates. That's strong, isn't it? Six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. He said a proud look, a lying tongue, a proud look, when you look down on people, when you humiliate people, when you act holier than thou, better than people, when you were guilty of some of the same things that you attack others over, and you don't speak in love to them, but you speak in judgment to them. I hate a proud look. I hate it, God said. God said that. That's something. That pride can so get a hold of our heart that he said that he gives grace to the humble, but the proud he holds at arm's length. He does not allow us to enter in with pride and arrogance. He said, I hate a lying tongue. There it is again. We better watch what we say. I hate a lying tongue. I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I think of, again, I'm not on a hobby horse. I am feeling the weight of informing and preaching the truth to this congregation and to this generation about what is taking place in our nation that is wrong. What is taking place in this nation with organizations like Planned Parenthood, who are selling human body parts for profit? And we don't even have enough senators. This is not a Democrat or Republican thing. This is, my God, are we Nazi Germany? Have we completely lost our moral compass to the point that we can't even, is the church so weak, so jellyfish backbone that we can't even stand up and say life is right and murder is wrong? It's wrong. I'm sorry that someone did it, but it's wrong, and we cannot be silent because we are afraid we might hurt somebody's feelings. Or 52 million babies. We're not mad at those people. We're not mad at those doctors. We're not mad at those senators. We're not mad. I feel sorry for them. We're not mad at the women who did it and the men who caused them to do it. We're not mad at them, but we must stand up and say, choose life. Choose life. Choose life. We are living in that time when there is a clear dividing line that's being drawn. And we're called to love what God loves. Not ever hate people, but hate the wickedness and the evil, sinister, even ghoulish organizations that are doing what. And I'm not, what do we do about it? We pray for them and we stand up for life. And we vote and we make up our mind that we're not going to listen to the lies of political correctness. And the church just is supposed to be quiet and go along to get along. And if my people, and there's supposedly 150 million born-again Christians in America, I don't believe it. Because if there are truly 150 million born-again, Bible-believing Christians, living Christians in America, this would be stopped. The more we fear God, the more you hate evil. The more you fear God, reverence God, stand in awe of God, tremble at who He is, the more you hate evil. We're living in a time when people think grace means I can live any way I want to and bring sin and all kinds of sin into my life and it doesn't matter. But to love or to fear the Lord is to hate evil. We must get our resistance up. We must get our standards up. We must get our convictions up. Now, I want to close with this thought. How many of you know someone who was serving the Lord years ago, but they're no longer in church, no longer living for God, doing crazy things, living an unbelievably, let's just be honest, just a wicked, evil, selfish life that once was on fire for God. Can I see your hand if you know someone like that? Let me see your hand. I want you to look, just keep it up. I want you to look around. How does that happen? The Lord spoke to me when I put this little message together. And He said, those who turn away, it's not that they didn't love God. It's that they didn't hate evil. They only took half of the gospel. They only took half of the formula. They took the half that said, love God, and I do love God. And you can ask them today. They may be doing all kinds. I love God. I believe in God, so do demons. And the Bible said demons believe and tremble. They got more reverence than a lot of Christians do. They took half, the half that said, I love God, but they didn't take the other half that said, I hate evil. And if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You're going to have to love your neighbor as yourself. And I would say to the gay community, this is America. You have a right to live any way you. I don't want to control people's lives, nor does the gospel teach that. You have decisions and choices. But when we begin to redefine by Supreme Court what marriage is, and redefine man married to woman now, whatever. You go too far. This is the core of our faith. I'm not a bigot because I preach this way. I feel this. I would say to you that we... We can't be quiet about it. We can't be silent about babies being torn to pieces and body parts, livers and hearts and kidneys being dissected for profit. This is stuff like you see in history books of the Nazis taking the Jews and doing experiments on them. There's no difference. Do you know, I read something the other day that if you destroy a bald eagle egg of an eagle, you will be fined $250,000 and put in prison for up to 5 years for destroying a bald eagle egg. But if you destroy the egg and the embryo of an infant baby, you're open-minded, you're educated. We've become so open-minded that our brains have fallen out. I mean, any sense of right and wrong inside of you ought to say. History records a remarkable account, the destruction of an ancient city. Watchmen on the wall had the tremendous responsibility to get on the wall and watch for approaching danger. Now, I want you to listen. Sensing people resented false alarms, the watchman remained quiet even though he saw something coming that looked dangerous. Regrettably, not long after the enemy did come, the city was destroyed that could have been saved. Later, someone erected a small memorial and inscribed these words: "Here stood a town that was destroyed by silence." And if America is destroyed, it will be destroyed by silence. In the pulpits and in the pews. At the voting boxes, if we are destroyed, we will be destroyed by silence. If babies are destroyed, they'll be destroyed by silence. If the morality of our nation and the God-fearing, faith-based nation that we were birthed as is destroyed, it will be destroyed by the silence of the Christians and the church of Jesus Christ. And it's happening. And I don't know how long. I don't know. I'm sure that it's a matter of time before we are confronted with a lawsuit. You either allow this couple that are same-sex to get married, or you can be sued. It's going to happen in this nation. They'll lay low on it for a while. Give it a few years. It's coming. In case you're wondering what I would do in that situation, don't wonder. I can't. I couldn't. I'm not being mean. I couldn't. And some of you I know will want to argue and all of that. And I get it. I'm not a know-it-all. I don't stand up here. But I'm just telling you, there are things that if we don't wake up and begin to understand that we're called to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And that sounds wrong, doesn't it? God is love. He is. But there's things that he says, I want you to be clear on in love. You are to hate these things. Not the people, these wicked things. Now you can stand up, and why don't we have a prayer meeting for our nation? Good God, what is going on in our nation? I have never seen anything. We need to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Can we pray a few moments? Let's raise our hands. Let's begin to pray all over this room. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Just kind of begin to pray all over this room. Father, we just pray right now for America. First of all, we repent. We come to you in repentance tonight, and we repent, Lord, that America is swimming in a sewer of of pornography and adultery and immorality and abortion and homosexuality and lying and stealing and cheating and greed. We repent, oh God. We repent of our sins. We repent, Lord, and we hear you calling us back to you, and we want to love what you love, and we want to hate what you hate in our life. If there's things in our life, if there's weeds in our life that are trying to destroy the beautiful lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, which is Jesus, if it's trying to kill the beauty of your light in our life, Lord, let us hate those weeds that destroy the beautiful flower that is you, Jesus. We just pray right now that you would give us victory over every addiction, victory over every stronghold, victory over every sin that does so easily beset. Give us a hatred for it. Don't let us accept it. Don't let us just entertain it. Let us have something in us that resists, something in us that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Something in us that says, no, that's not right. No, I can't give in to that. No, I won't be a part of that. And Lord, give us boldness, I pray. Boldness in this hour. Help us, Lord, to speak the truth in love as never before. We pray for a mighty outpouring of your repentance on this nation, and that, God, you would help us. We pray for leaders. Raise your hands right now and say, God, raise up leaders in our nation. America needs great leadership right now. And Father, I pray for our president. I pray for our Congress. I pray, God, that you would awaken them. Help us, Lord, to not be silent in this crucial moment. In Jesus' name, I pray for the ministry. I pray for pastors. I pray for those who have worldwide pulpits. I pray for those who have churches and communities, that there would come a holy boldness, that your voice would rumble through the body of Christ, and we would wake up and we would preach the truth, and that we would see true moves of God that awaken the moral conscience of people again. In Jesus' name, we cry out to you, Lord, for revival. Let it start with me, oh God. Let it start with me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lift your voice up right now and begin to cry out to God all over this room. If there's anything in your life that you know is like a weed that's trying to destroy the life of God in you, right now I want you to ask God to help you to hate what he hates. Not like it, not entertain it, not get along with it. Hate that addiction. Hate it. Hate it with a passion. Hate it. Hate that compromise. Hate it in Jesus' name. Hate that lying. Hate that deceiving. Hate it in Jesus' name. Hate that forward mouth. Hate it. And God can begin to correct it. But when you just ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, there will be no change in your life. But when you say, God, I want to love what you love. Everybody want to love what God loves. Raise your hands high now and say, fill me with the love of God. Fill me with what God loves. Awaken me, oh God. Help me to love you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name. Well, I pray today that this message has touched you, and we would love to hear from you. Dial the number that's on the screen or go online and make contact with us and tell us what Christ has done in your life. If this ministry has been a blessing to your life, if you're someone who wants to see messages like this heard all around the world, I want to encourage you. This month is Partnership Month, and we're believing for 1,000 new partners this month. We even hear testimonies of healings that happen for people in their physical body, and sick marriages and homes are being restored by the power of Jesus Christ. We are building the faith of brand new Christians every week, and we know that lives are being changed for eternity. For as little as $25 a month, you'll be sending the gospel, listen to this, to 249 nations around the globe. Many of our telecasts are being translated into different languages. You are a part of reaching those nations. Can you help us today? You can either give $25 a month or a one-time gift of $300. and you will instantly become an elite partner with this ministry. Every penny you give goes to preach the gospel and to do projects just like the children's home. And I believe when you partner with us, you're helping fulfill two great commandments Jesus gave us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and love your neighbor as yourself, taking care of the widows, the orphans, and the poor. We're going to do it bigger and better than we've ever done it before. Lord, I ask you today to touch people. I need you to speak to 1,000 people to become a partner with this ministry. In Jesus' mighty name. Become a connection partner today, and God will bless you. Here's my announcer to tell you more.
This month, join Jensen and Cherise Franklin in preaching the gospel around the world by becoming a Connection Partner. When you do, you'll have exclusive access to the Partner Gateway, custom-created partner teachings, and private invitations to partner events, conferences, and intimate prayer meetings with Jensen and Cherise Franklin. For as little as $25 a month, you'll have the confidence of knowing that every penny you give is sending the gospel around the world and helping complete life-saving projects like the Youth for Tomorrow Children's Home. And this month only, you'll receive Jensen Franklin's powerful message, How God Provides, along with a custom print of Philippians 1:3-5. With your one-time gift of $300 or more, you'll become an elite partner with the ministry and enjoy all of the exclusive benefits, along with Jensen Franklin's brand new Legacy Bible. Call now or visit us online to give your very best gift and become a Connection Partner today, because we can't do everything, but together we can do something amazing for the glory of God. This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Kingdom Connection. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry.